So let's pray. Heavenly Father, whenever we gather, it is all about you. So we ask simply that we are aware of your presence. We ask that we hear your voice. We ask that our minds are open to you and that our hearts are open to you and that you simply have your way in our midst. Lord, do what you want to do in each of us, but together. And we bless you, Lord. We appreciate it, and we thank you and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I hope everyone's doing good. It's a beautiful day. It's supposed to be beautiful tomorrow. Hope everyone can enjoy the holiday. I know most people just enjoy not working. Just that concept, you know, puts a smile on a lot of people's faces. So I hope you have a wonderful memorial. And the Lord knows we're thankful for all those that have sacrificed for our lives here. So I want to dive right into this. I don't want to take too long today. For most of you that have been around, you know we're going through what we call a kingdom series, and we've dealt with it from the concept of kingdom relationships, and we spent a good amount of time talking about our relationship with God, right? And now we've transitioned into our relationship with one another. Whether you realize it or not, last week was part of that. We get to go through life together, right? That means we have to, like, relate, okay? It's kingdom relationship, and we're called to relate, but we're called to relate differently than the world relates. And I think so often we bring in what we've known from a different world into the world that we're called to live in, and we don't relate in a manner that changes the world. I was talking to different members of my family this past week, and I said, it's interesting to me. You know, when I was pursuing a relationship with my wife, you know, and many of you probably can relate to this, you dress up as nicely as you can, you put on your best, right? And you behave your best so they can see your best, so they'll want to hang around you more, right? And I find it interesting that once you get married, you tend to give your family your worst instead of your best, but yet you say they're the most important things in your life. You know, it really should be the opposite. Those I don't care as much for, that I don't hang around with, should be able to see my worst, because it really doesn't matter, and I should give my best to my family. But often, even in church, we don't give each other our best. You know, Jesus gave us his best. And the Bible is full, just full of how we're to relate to one another. And if you get a glimpse of it, you'll realize it has a lot to do with our best and not a whole lot to do with our worst. Matter of fact, our worst we're supposed to kind of cast off, right? So we talked about together last week, and I wanted to kind of bring it home with the concept of unity. I think it's really important to see the world will see us when we're united towards a purpose. I also think it's interesting that even in the United States, the few times in my life that I can say it seemed or appeared that we were a united people were in times of catastrophe. You know, 2011, churches were filled the following Sunday. Everybody was of one heart, one mind, because we were all going through something together. Right? We're all going through something together. When you gave your heart to the Lord, you entered into his kingdom, and you are now going through the rest of life together towards a purpose. What does it require? It requires unity. So I want to talk about unity of the Spirit. Ephesians 4:1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. It's a really great passage of Scripture, and there's plenty of keys in it that would preach on its own, but I'm not going to go everywhere there. I want to say this. I want you to grasp something from this passage. It says, when you've given your heart to the Lord, you've entered the kingdom of God, you have been given the ability to live your life worthy of what he's called you to. I see so many Christians want to belittle themselves when they are called. He wouldn't have called you if you couldn't do it. You can live your life worthy. I'm so unworthy. He's made you worthy. Once and forever, the matter is settled. Don't ever come to me and say you're not worthy. You will not like my response. That is just a lie from the pit of hell. You know, the enemy has been rendered powerless. Quit giving him power. He seeks to deceive us and divide us. He has no authority to do either. It's only that which you allow. You are worthy. Why? Because he deemed you worthy. Okay, that's what the verse says. Live a life worthy of the calling. How do we do it? Simply we rely on him. Why? He is Father of all. That includes you. He is over all. He is through all, and he's in all. So what did we say a few weeks ago? We said it's in him, it's through him, and it's by him. That's how we have our being. That's how we're to live. That's how we represent the kingdom of God, and we do it together. The key to the whole thing, I don't know how many of you have read Miles Monroe's books. He's written a number of them before he passed away, on the kingdom. And he wrote this one book. It says, the most important person on earth is Holy Spirit. Okay? And he relates to him as governor of a colony. So the key in the message today is it's unity of the Spirit. See, someone's been given to you that gives you the ability, that brings you to understand, that reveals truth, that shows you how you're to live, how you're to respond in every circumstance, so that you're pretty much without excuse when you screw up. Okay? It's like he laid out a path. You can walk in it, or you can do your own thing, which usually leads you to see that you somehow screwed up, right? But he doesn't ever condemn you. He's like, there's the path. It's pretty clear. It's evident to all, right? So I want to talk about unity, specifically unity of the Spirit. But we've seen it, and we see it today as much as any other time. Misplaced unity is dangerous. So let that be a warning to you. There are many catastrophes that have happened because good people tried to do good things for good reasons, and it was just misplaced. Genesis 11:1 tells us the story. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. We've all probably heard this story, and there's some powerful message within this story. One is the power of unity. Nothing would be impossible for them. I didn't say it. God said it. There's a power in unity. However, their unity was totally misplaced to where God had to come down and mess things up for them. Right? And he really did a good job, because some of you, I just don't understand. And we speak the same language. You know, it's so interesting to me that he created something of himself, unity of the Spirit. He gave it to us, and we can misplace use of it. So what was misplaced here? This is a real key to kingdom living. Okay, if you don't get anything else, get this. What was misplaced in this story? They were doing it for themselves. You know, God gave each of us an individual will, and there's even a corporate will that comes with vision and purpose. But if God hasn't called us and led us to do something, and we go ahead and do it, even if we do it together, we're misplacing our unity. It's the wrong priority, and it won't lead to good and fruitful things for the kingdom of God to advance in this world. We need to get behind the purposes of God and what God's calling us to do together. Then we see the kingdom advance. Key to kingdom living: follow his will. Okay? Misplaced unity is dangerous. Now, I think everyone knows God desires us to live in unity, right? He said it this way, and we all know this scripture, Psalms 133:1. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes, as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. And you can say that, how do you know God desires unity from that? Because it says he bestows a blessing. See, God's given you a situation in which he says, I see this, I bestow a blessing. Okay. How many know that he wants to bless you? He's a good, good father, right? And so good that some of you actually came back from vacation, all refreshed, and it's good to see you guys, Jeff and Brenda, Bud and Natalie, among others. It's just good to see people. Well, sometimes, you know, I don't know that we let people know we actually missed them, you know, and sometimes I think they need to hear it. Missed you guys. It's like they're important in my life, you know, and sometimes life grabs us so much our actions don't show it. It's nice to pause and say, hey, you matter. Right? Okay. God desires us to be in unity. So how else do I know that? Well, he prayed for unity. John 17:20 says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So he prayed for you and I that we would be in unity. How do we become into unity? We agree with the leading of the Holy Spirit, which is revealing to us the will of God. You know, I've always had this question in my mind, and I've said it here. And how is the world going to know? Well, they'll know by your love for one another. Okay, we're here. Do they know we love each other? No, why? Because we're in these walls, and the world isn't seeing a thing. Unless they're all tuning in on Zoom or something. You know, we kind of lock them out because you have to have a password and all that. How are they going to know? But yet he, in his prayer, which how many know when like Jesus prayed, he expects it to be answered? He didn't like pray doubting. He didn't pray wondering. He was praying in the heart of the Father, right? May they be brought to complete unity. Why? He answers the question. To let the world know. There's an aspect of our being united together in him that needs to be taken out of the church. Matter of fact, so often we think the church is just the building. The church is our life out of here. It's how we live, not from 9 o'clock till 1 o'clock on Sunday morning. It's how we live all the other time. They need to see it. And it needs to be different from what they've known. Why? So they'll see him. So what's it look like? We touched on both these passages last week. In Acts, but I love these passages. Acts 2:1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. We talked about that, right? Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. It makes so much sense that he's called the Spirit of Unity because he was poured out when they were there for one purpose. They were all in one accord together. What were they doing? They were waiting in response to what Jesus said, go wait, and this is going to happen. And it's probably the most powerful thing that was ever experienced in this world. You say, well, Jesus dying was greater. Well, no, Jesus dying paid a way for us to be able to live. Essential, but if he didn't tell us how we could live or provide a way, it was kind of pointless. For this world, the greatest thing that's happened is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it enables us to live how we're called to live. Now, that does not minimize salvation. Salvation brought us into an eternal relationship with God. It's absolutely essential. He made a way. What did he make a way for? For us to live. When Milan dwell together in unity, big things happen. Unity changed the world here. Why? Because they were in unity, he fulfilled his promise. He poured out his Holy Spirit. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We talked about that verse last week. You know, what the power of unity does, and you see it in so many aspects of this, but in the end, the Lord did the work. Unity was a pathway for the Lord to move. So just a couple examples of unity. Now I want to touch on this. The Holy Spirit is unity. He's called unity of the Spirit, right? He's many things. He's wisdom, he's counselor, he's our guide, he's our comforter, he's many things in our lives. But he is unity. And what do I mean? I mean, if you talk with Holy Spirit, you're talking to the Father. If you're relating to Holy Spirit, you're relating to Jesus. Relating to Jesus Christ. You're relating to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When you're dealing with one, you're dealing with all of them. There's no separation. Why? They're in perfect harmony with one another. They're in unity. And he's been given to us. Romans 15:5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now that's a mouthful. What am I trying to say in this passage? Holy Spirit's unity. Holy Spirit's been given to us, and here's his purpose. You'll see. There is a building up of the body of Christ, which is us. That leads to what? Unity. It does what? There's unity in faith. And unity in the knowledge of the Son of God. What does that lead to? It leads to maturity. You know, a lot of times we're just so busy constantly laying and relaying the foundation that nothing's ever built. And we haven't moved on to the maturity part. Why? Because we fail to be united towards any purpose other than deceit and division. That was hard, by the way, just in case you didn't catch it. We partner with the wrong things a lot of times in church. You know, it's your choice whether you want it to be united or not. It's no one else's. It's your choice if you wanted to look at an issue or a problem and make it division or not. Your choice. Choose life. The church, which is us together, needs to reach unity in faith and in knowledge to become mature, so we are the full measure to represent him in this world. Out of here. So what's that look like? Unity is made manifest in love, right? They'll know us we're his disciples by our love for one another. Colossians 3:12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, do you look in the mirror and say, that's me? Look in the mirror, Bruce, and say, kindness, looking at me, right? Humility, right? Gentleness, yes, yeah. That's really how we should see ourselves. Why? Because that's a manifestation of love in God's people. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. What does unity look like? It looks like loving one another. I don't know how many of you feel loved by me. In passing, I might say hello and then say, see you next Sunday. And you go home and you're all warm and fuzzy. Bruce said hello. You know, and I get, you know, even in a congregation of this size, being actively involved in each other's lives at every moment is not realistic. But there is a passion that comes from the heart of God for us to have concern for the well-being of one another, whether we can always be physically present or not. We can be engaged with one another's lives. And it might just be lifting up each other to God. He might do something more. Reach out and call somebody. He might do something more. Invite somebody to dinner. Have some fellowship time with somebody. There's so many avenues that we can reach out and touch one another to where we are building up, edifying, encouraging, and comforting one another. So many ways. Unity is manifest in love. Unity is also manifest in our identity. Now, everything I say from this standpoint is this: we are in Him. Who you are is in Him. Philippians 2:1. I love Philippians. Great book. Philippians 2:1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. Now, you need to wrap this around. You should be able to look in the mirror and see kindness and gentleness and all the other fruit of the Spirit, patience. You should. Why? Because you're in Him. How are you going to see Christ in other people if you can't see Him in yourself? Christ in me, the hope of glory. You know, I sometimes have to choose purposely, other times I don't, to look in the mirror and like what I see. Sometimes it has to be a conscious choice. I'm going to choose to see Jesus in me so He has an opportunity to live in and through me. Sometimes I just get in the way of all that stuff for whatever reason, you know. You're united with Christ. Any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit of unity lives with you, dwells with you, abides with you, wants to relate with you. If any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete. How? By being like-minded. Having the same love, love of Christ, mind of Christ. Being one in spirit and purpose. Not my will, your will. See, in our identity, unity is made manifest. Why? Because of who He is. And He is perfect unity. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brothers, goodbye. Nice service. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Just need to act like it. Really? Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is funny. It's not funny, but it's funny. Really. How often, right? The Holy Spirit told me this, and it lines up like with nothing God says or does. Like, yeah, you really wanted to do this, and you really didn't hear from God. You heard your own voice and mistook it for God. And I'm not like condemning anybody for that. That's like natural stuff, right? Hey, this sounds good. Oh, I hear it. Yeah, I have a feeling this is God. Well, that doesn't line up with anything of God's will. You know, there's so much stuff out there. And I think of how much change has taken place in just my generation. You know, I can remember when black and white TVs came out. Okay. Information now is you're just bombarded. It's an onslaught. You don't think your mind needs to be renewed? You don't think you relate to Holy Spirit. Rest in him. Get the clutter out. Hear from him. Reason with him. Converse. Ask questions. Make statements. Laugh. You know. How many of you know I love my wife? Okay? Some could say you say it, but I don't see it. You know. You could, right? I just crack myself up with her. I do. I laugh more at myself than anybody in this world. I'm really funny. And she's like the most patient person because I can be like so annoying. You know? And even to, you know, I'm like a little puppy dog sometimes. It's just, you want to like shove out of the way. What if I'm saying, where am I going with that? Unity is manifest in love. Now, my wife could join me in laughing at my annoying self at times, which she does, which cracks me up more. Or she could get upset and kick me out of the way. Which one's manifesting love? Sometimes, and I even tell her, she's got stuff to do, right? I don't care. I want her undivided attention just because I want her undivided attention. Why? Because I'm the most important thing in her life, period, absent of God. At any given time. Why? Because she chose me. We're not questioning the sanity of that choice. She chose me, right? She's stuck with that. It's covenant till death do us part. So I don't care what she's doing or how important it is. So I'll like annoy wherever she goes until she acknowledges me. Unity is manifest in love. And it manifests in who you are. See, I'm her husband, and she's my wife. And there's certain requirements in that that come from what there's transaction constantly involved. And in our identity, I can do things that others can't. And she can do things that others can't. Why? Because we can be united in love towards these things. And great joy can come out of what could be just annoyance. You know, I don't know that I do a good job, but I try to bring things down to a really personal, understandable, relational aspect. Everything in life can be so spiritual that it's no earthly good. Now, we're to live by the Spirit, but we're supposed to be practical, outworking. The world needs to see something that they want. I'm really close to done, so everything's good. Time's fine. Okay, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. I had that in bold, so I was supposed to accentuate that. Rejoice. Right? Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. All this is about unity presenting or manifesting itself in identity, by the way. Haven't left that point. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's renewing your mind. That's identifying with Christ. So when all this stuff comes at us, we can choose to think rightly. What does that yield? Manifests unity. When I don't let anything separate me from you in thought, there is no separation. So how do we become united properly? I'm closing with two passages. You guys already know this. Point's going to be obvious to all. Matthew 26:39. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken unless I drink it, may your will be done." Matthew 6:9. Everyone can stand. This then is how you should pray. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So how do we become properly united? Refer back to the story of Babel. Not my will, but his will be done. Proper unity is when we join together to see his will be done. Proper unity is when we join together to know his will, to learn his will, to let his will work out of our lives. That's proper unity. What has he called us to? Unity of the Spirit. Why? So they will know. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, let your word speak to us and let it change us so that we can be built into the house fully mature to see your kingdom come and your will be done. I bless your people. I declare your favor upon them. Abundant favor. May they just encounter you and experience you in every facet of their lives. May you bring peace and comfort and joy over this holiday season. May they just overflow abundantly in your presence. I thank you for that. I thank you that your word never fails us. And I thank you, Lord, that you are speaking to hearts, you're speaking to minds, and you're accomplishing what you would. I bless your people as they go, and I thank you for them. We ask that you be glorified and honored in everything that transpired here today and the rest of this day. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed.